Today on Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy.
Foolishness in the book of Proverbs is defiance. And when that begins to show up in the life of your child, parents, it's time to curb that destructive behavior. If you're negligent in this area, you are teaching your children that sin doesn't matter, you really don't care, and God doesn't matter.
And welcome to Know the Truth. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Today, Philip DeCourcy teaches about the essentialness of discipline and the danger of negligence in parenting today. It's a message titled Keeping Dennis from Becoming a Menace, Part 2, from the That Makes Good Sense series in Proverbs. After the message, you'll hear about a timely resource that will teach you how to provide wisdom to your own children as they grow up in a confusing world. Learn more about it right now at ktt.org. Now, let's join Pastor Philip.
According to the organization Save the Children, in the last decade alone, more than 1.5 million children have been killed during military conflicts. Millions more have been injured. In fact, to such an extent that statistics tell us that 10 million children around the world have been psychologically affected by war. Now, Save the Children wants us to know that much of the damage has resulted from the approximately 100 million landmines that have been scattered and sown in 60 countries. These mines, believe it or not, have been placed in areas frequented by children. One wouldn't countenance it, but schools, playgrounds, fields across the world are littered with these landmines, places of natural curiosity to children. In fact, more than 26,000 people just last year were killed or maimed by landmines. 90% of the victims were, as you can imagine, civilians, and many of them children. Saving the Children, but in another more eternally significant sense, is the great concern of the book of Proverbs. This book and its authors have a passionate desire to address the issue of children and their upbringing, because the authors of this book are passionate about the fact that life is a moral minefield fraught with spiritual danger for the next generation. A step in the wrong direction, and our sons and our daughters could be maimed for life, or worse still, they could be lost for eternity. This book teaches young men and young women to avoid the embrace of sexual immorality. This book encourages them to avoid the trap of humanistic materialism. This book encourages them to watch the danger of addictive alcoholism. Many, many minefields are talked about in this book. And if that were not enough to worry about, the book of Proverbs recognizes that our children are walking time bombs themselves. And apart from God's gracious intervention and the work of parents, they will self-destruct through godless folly. Not surprisingly then, the book of Proverbs wants to advise parents to train and instruct their children in the ways of wisdom. Therefore, I want to return to look with you at this issue of disciplining and developing our children. If a parent truly loves their child, that parent will not leave their child to themselves, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of that child. That child needs to be corrected. That child needs to be counseled. And ultimately, by God's grace, that child needs to be converted to Jesus Christ. That should be the passion and the purpose of every parent who has children, because there's a basis for discipline. The sooner we start this process of correcting and directing our children, the better. Proverbs 13:24 tells us to discipline them promptly, at the dawn, early. And we saw in our last message that there were a number of factors that would encourage you and I to speedily get about the work of raising our children. There's the compliance factor. There's the curiosity factor. There's the conversion factor. Our children are relatively innocent in a young age, even though they have a sin nature. It has not been fully exposed to the world that will bait it and feed it. Therefore, when they're in the home, sheltered by us, it's a unique time of compliance. It's a unique time of curiosity. Children ask loads of questions. Children are teachable. Jesus, in fact, took one of them, told his disciples, this is the way you enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to become broken and teachable and curious like a child. The Word of God encourages us, and statistics show us that more than often, our faith is found at a young age. And so we need to begin the work of discipline early, and it's based upon the fact that our children are born with sin natures that need to be curbed and corrected and ultimately converted, which is God's work. And if we love them, we will get about that work upon that basis early. That brings us to the third point. Now, this is where we're picking up new material. And this is our third thought when we look at discipline and the role of parents in correcting their children. This is what I call the balance of discipline. The basis, the beginning, the balance. The book of Proverbs holds out for us a varied approach to disciplining and raising our children. There's not just one string on the bow of discipline. In fact, Proverbs 29, verse 15 tells us what the balance is. Turn with me to Proverbs 29, verse 15. Start to follow along. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The book of Proverbs tells us that we need to, on the one hand, physically correct our children, and on the other hand, we need to morally instruct our children. We need to restrain them through punishment, and then we need to reason with them through argument. We need to bend their will, bring them to a place of submission through corrective punishment, but then we need to appeal to their mind and capture their heart through compelling instruction. We use the rod to gain their attention. Then, having gained their attention, we teach them. The rod makes them teachable, but they still have to be taught. That's the balance. And that's the trick. We need to keep that balance. Now, before we get into those two ideas of the rod and the rebuke, turn with me momentarily to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, because this idea of balancing out our discipline between the rod and the rebuke, between physical correction and moral instruction, is echoed and reinforced in the New Testament. And that's interesting, because if you study this issue as I have, you're going to find that the anti-spanking lobby want to argue that indeed, while spanking was part of the Old Testament era, and that was a brutal, brutish era, that is not the case in the New Testament, which is governed by the principle of love and kindness exemplified in the life of Jesus. That's their argument. But it's false, because in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, in the New Testament, within the covenant of Jesus Christ, one of his apostles teaches us, look at verse 4 of Ephesians 6, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, look at this, in the training and admonition of the Lord. Interesting. William Hendrickson, the great Presbyterian commentator, in his commentary on Ephesians 6, tells us that this word training is a Greek word often translated in the New Testament, discipline. You could translate it this way, train them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. The word discipline carries the idea of rules and regulations, which if necessary need to be enforced by punishment. Punishment is not beyond the thought of Paul here. So what we have here is the possibility of physical punishment. Then Paul says that's followed, or it's balanced by admonition, that is verbal training. That which is spoken, that which is argued, that which is taught, that which is warned. So here we have this balance again, the rod and the rebuke. What is done to the child by discipline and what is said to the child by instruction. So there is a balance that God uses throughout all dispensations, and there is a balance to be found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now I want to look at the balance. Let's look at the rod, and then let's look at the rebuke. The rod. Well, the Hebrew word for rod throughout the book of Proverbs denotes, the young people don't want to hear this, but I'm sorry, this is a fact, a part of a tree from which a staff or a weapon can be made. We're talking about an implement. We're talking about a weapon in some sense. And so further study of the word, in fact, reveals that it was used of a king's scepter and it was used of a shepherd's staff. So outside the book of Proverbs, where this Hebrew word is specifically used of the rod that a parent will use, a switch, some kind of paddle that will do to discipline the child, the word itself is more widely used as a scepter and as a staff. I think that's a beautiful picture of the ministry of the rod. Because when we apply the rod to our children, we are displaying our authority over them, and we are governing our offspring righteously through biblical discipline. In the picture of the staff, which a shepherd would use to correct the direction of a wandering sheep, we have a beautiful picture that out of love for our children, we apply the rod, just like a shepherd would apply the staff to make sure our children stay away from trouble. Beautiful pictures. And the rod is a wooden implement that was used by a king or by a shepherd, and there's some form of it that was used by a parent to inflict pain and punishment to the child. Now, let's answer some questions that I think must be answered to help our young families especially, but also just to bring clarity to the biblical text. When should we apply the rod? Where should we apply the rod? And thirdly, how should we apply the rod? Well, let's begin with when. When's it appropriate to discipline your child physically by using something like a switch or a paddle or something akin to the biblical rod? Some parents choose to use their hand, and there's some debate over that. But whatever way we discipline our child, when should we do it? Well, go back to Proverbs 22, verse 15. We looked at it, but we need to look at it again. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from him. We need to apply the rod when foolishness is revealed from the heart of our children. Now, remember what we said about the word foolishness in the book of Proverbs. There's a moral component to foolishness. This isn't childishness. This isn't your boy, you know, putting a hole in his pants playing soccer or baseball. This isn't your child spilling the milk jug on a kitchen table by accident as their kind of motor skills are developing. This is not what foolishness is in the book of Proverbs. Foolishness in the book of Proverbs is defiance. And when that begins to show up in the life of your child, parents, it's time to get the switch. It's time to get the paddle. It's time to apply the rod and drive that foolishness from the heart to curb that destructive behavior. So, simply put, when do you discipline your child? Through physical punishment? When willful defiance and disobedience to clear commands become clear. It is the challenging of God's moral authority mediated through the parents. And we need to remind ourselves of that. When our child defies us, they are defying God. And parents forget that all the time. That's why you can't turn a blind eye. Because if you turn a blind eye to their open defiance of your authority, you are teaching them that sin doesn't matter, you're a pushover, and God is irrelevant. That's how serious this is. If you're negligent in this area, you are teaching your children that sin doesn't matter, you really don't care, and God doesn't matter, and they don't need to care. No, you're wiser than that. I think you love your children more than that. So do I. So we're going to have to heed the word of God. When I see my children defiantly opposing my authority, stepping over clear boundaries, opposing my commands, it is time to confront their disobedience with the rod. Ted Tripp says that we're to look for and demand compliance from our children, and we're not to settle for occasional bones of obedience. Don't you overlook four faults, and then when you see a fifth compliance, be happy with that. In fact, there's a footnote to this. Some of you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor, if what you're saying is true and what you're saying is what I need to do, then I'll be doing it all day long. Well, I would say this to you. The truth is, the sooner you do it, the less you'll have to do it. The sooner you do it, the less you'll have to do it. And if you're doing it more than you think you should be doing it, there could be a clue that you've done it less than you should have done it. And you may have left some things a little late. I think the Word of God is teaching us here, and I guarantee you this moral principle from the book of Proverbs, the sooner you do it, the more effective it will be. The earlier, the more effective. And the more you do it early on, the less you'll do it later on. Which, again, just to clarify, because I know parents want this answered, when is the child old enough? So we've answered when, okay, when they defy you. So when are they old enough to be smacked when they defy you? When they're old enough to know they defied you, that's the basic principle. I'm not going to get into can you discipline them when they're one? Can you discipline them when they're 1.5, when they're 2? If they are conscious that they are defying you, that's time to discipline, it's time to spank. And you need to be sensitive to that, praying about that, and awake to that. When you start to see open defiance, conscious rebellion in your child, I don't care what age they are, it's time to confront it. Remember what we said? Susanna Wesley encouraged us to make sure that we had broken the will of our children before they were one. She wants us to realize we've got to establish in our child that they cannot act without consequences. And they've got to know that from the earliest possible moment. When to where? Well, it seems the book of Proverbs points us in a specific direction. Okay, follow me. Proverbs 10 verse 13. And I'll show you this and hopefully establish this in your mind. Proverbs 10, 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Let's go to Proverbs 26, verse 3. Proverbs 26 and verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, a rod for the fool's pack. You say, okay, so do I take the rod to their back? Well, let's just hold off a little. The Hebrew word here, gav, refers to the middle back. It includes the bottom. It includes the backside, which is halfway between the crown of the head and the sole of the foot. It's well padded, and you can inflict pain without doing any kind of major damage to the child. It's perfect. It's planned. Should never hit your child across the face because that's humiliating. It's abusive. Stick to the bottom, maybe the back of the leg, somewhere where the body is strong, where it can feel pain, but you're not going to do any kind of damage and you're not humiliating the child. To slap a child in the face is a humiliating thing. It's wrong. We shouldn't do it. If we've done it, we can repent of it and apologize to our children. And I need to clarify that when I use the word smack, I'm speaking from a British perspective. That's to your bottom. The pastors inform me, don't be encouraging the congregation to smack their kids because here it means a backslap across the face. Well, I don't mean that when I use the word smack. When, where, how should it be applied? Here's my point, and I'll substantiate it. It should be applied to a point of sufficient pain. It should be applied to a point of sufficient pain. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. When your child becomes defiant, when your words no longer are heard, when your commands are no longer obeyed, you've got to apply the rod and you've got to apply it with sufficient pain. In fact, over in Hebrews 12 and verse 11, we get this thought, if I might again substantiate my thought in the New Testament. In fact, again, this is the love of God being displayed because God disciplines those who he loves. He corrects those who are faltering. And here's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, I know chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Now, look at these words, but painful. That's how a parent is to discipline. That's how God disciplines. God disciplines us painfully. When we get wayward, when we become lax in our walk with God, God may just have to wake us up through some painful experience in our life. He may break us health-wise, financially, whatever it needs. He will do what is necessary to bring us back to himself. It seems to me that there we have again a model for disciplining your children. The degree of application should reinforce the point that you're trying to make that there are sorrowful consequences to disobedience. And I say to you, it ought to be memorable. It ought to be feared. And I think if it's memorable and feared, it'll often be infrequent. No child in their right mind will want what you're going to give them if it's memorable and painful. But it ought to be. It has to have a measure of smarting in it and pain in it so that the child doesn't go out and do again what you're hoping they don't do again. A little bit of pain will bring a lot of health in the long run. That, by the way, reminds us that a slap on the wrist and a little pat on the bottom is a waste of time. If you're going to do it right, and you ought to do it because God's commanding you to do it. In fact, if you think I'm being too strident here, let me underline what Proverbs 23 verse 13 says. Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. And you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, you know, common sense tells you, liberals have no common sense. They don't approach the word of God literally or grammatically or historically. They approach it with a bias and they go, there you are. We're back in this kind of brutish, brutal era, beating children. And that rings in the ears of the sensitive 20th century soul and says, you know what? We're against child abuse. So am I. And so's the word of God. This is not a beating of a child to a point of physical harm. The Hebrew word means to strike. But it does carry the idea of striking with such sufficient force that there is pain and smarting. Because the contrast is this, you'll deliver your child's soul from death. This is what's at stake. That's why a slap on the wrist, a pat on the bottom's a joke. We're dealing with willful, sinful hearts that must be curbed, that must be caged, that must be warned, lest our children self-destruct, bring shame to our families, hurt our society, rob old women, steal things that don't belong to them, take somebody's car, laugh at policemen. That's what's at stake if you and I leave our children to themselves.
You're listening to Know the Truth, and today Philip DeCourcy is emphasizing the importance of discipline and correction in the lives of our children. It's a message titled, Keeping Dennis from Becoming a Menace, Part 2. You can replay it online at ktt.org. You'll also find it on the KTT app or podcast. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy in the app or podcast store on your mobile device. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're thrilled to have you with us, and we'd like to welcome you with a free gift hot off the press. It's a brand new devotional booklet titled Resting in God's Faithfulness, and it's free just for reaching out to us. Learn more at ktt.org. But if you've been listening to Know the Truth for a while now, maybe you'd like to help us in this work of sharing the gospel with others. Perhaps you have a friend who doesn't yet know Christ or a family member you'd like to share biblical truth with. Well, we'd like to come alongside you and help make it a bit easier. In March, when you give a gift of any amount, we'll invite you to send a copy of Philip's encouraging book, Take Cover, to a friend or family member of your choice. This book encourages Christians to find peace and rest in God's divine protection. Just choose a friend and we'll send it to them on your behalf. You'll also receive a personal copy of What God Wants Every Dad to Know. There's no better book than Proverbs for helping fathers guide their children toward good choices and away from the wrong ones. And this book lists out Proverbs' most important principles you can teach your child. It's yours when you call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. You can also address an envelope to Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. And one more thing, if you'd like to stay up to date on all things Know the Truth, be sure to connect with us on social media. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy on any major social media platform. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again next time for more practical wisdom from the book of Proverbs. That'll be next time, right here on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."